Now, today is one of those times where I could probably spend 2, 3, 4, 5 hours preaching on this passage. Do not worry. Let not your hearts be troubled. That is not going to happen. I mean, amen. I heard an amen. I'll join you in that amen, brother. I don't want to be up here for 2, 3, 4 hours preaching. But I could. Every paragraph here from this reading from 2 Corinthians is filled with information, filled with ideas, filled with images, filled with concepts that I would just love to dive into. But today, one piece of it is speaking to me. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Wow. This is one of those passages that just rivets you. You hear it, you read it, and it just grabs you. And it grabs your attention and grabbed mine and wouldn't let me go. I struggled with it. I read it again and again and again. Everything old has passed away. See, behold, look, notice, everything has become new. The New King James Version translates this as, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. Now, as I struggled with this and as I read it again and again and again, as I went back to the Greek New Testament and read it there, I was startled to notice that in the Greek original of the New Testament, the words everything and all are lacking. What? You mean they added that in the translation? Yes. That doesn't mean that the idea isn't there. It is. But the idea of everything and all in this passage is contained in the grammar. English speakers sometimes have trouble with this idea because we like to use words to indicate concepts that can be easily be communicated in other languages with grammar. Everything old is passed away translates an aorist active indicative. Oh gosh, it's going to be grammar lessons today? Yeah, among other things. Everything has become new translates a perfect active indicative. So what's an aorist tense verb? After all, we don't have the aorist tense in English. Modern English, we don't. What is aorist tense in Greek? Aorist tense is also known as punctiliar time. You have simple past tense, something takes place in the past. But in aorist past tense concepts, it takes place at a specific defined moment in time. Aorist tense means that it occurred at that moment in time, in that moment in history, for that moment in time, in that moment in history, and at no other point in time is that action taking place. I took my glasses off, and I put them back on. For the time that they were off my face, you could translate that in Greek with a very simple tense to say the glasses were off his face. And that tense would tell you that it was for a specific period of time and only for that period of time and isn't continuing now and wasn't indeterminate in the past, i.e., he kept them off for a very long time like I just did. In that moment, they were off. And that can be translated in aorist tense in Greek with a very specific ending structure. That's interesting. It's kind of like super-duper past tense. Punctiliary action that occurred at a specific time in the past, and it's done there, and it's complete there. All right? That's the meaning of aorist tense. The old has passed away means that my old life is now gone in Christ, taken away at a specific point in the past that was completed then. When Christ died on the cross for my sins, he took away my old life. I forget that I had not been born yet. Forget that my mom and dad weren't around yet. Forget that none of my ancestors going back almost 2,000 years did not exist yet. When he died on that cross for me, my old life, my old self, my sin was placed upon him then, and it was done. That's aorist tense in its true essence. And that means that everything about me that's old, all of my sin, every bit of my sinning nature was placed upon him then, and all of it is gone. There's nothing left. It's a completed action. Now, all things have become new is, again, a perfect active indicative. And just as in English, so also in Greek, perfect tense emphasizes the present, ongoing result of a completed action. Whereas aorist leaves it in the past, and it's there, and it's not coming to nowadays. It's done, it's gone, it's dead, it's there. Perfect says it began and is still in the past and is still true today. In English, we render that with things like have become. In this case, have become new. This means that in Christ, my life, which began at the cross, my life, which began anew at the cross, and when I accepted him as Lord and Savior, my life, which began in that moment in time 2,000 years ago, continues today. It is ongoing. It has not come to an end. Has become new. All things. And it's not just some of them. Because it began then and continues now, it's all things. Everything has become new. So the translation into English that we were dealing with today from the New Revised Standard Version, if anyone is in Christ, and by the way, you are, there is a new creation. Another way of rendering that is you are a new creation. Everything, all things that are old, has passed away, have already passed away. Passed away then and is done and gone. See, behold, witness, everything, all things have become new. And they're new to this day. In this phrase, we have the tension. The tension that is the Christian life. The tension between what we're told is true and what we see in us, what we're promised on the one hand and what we experience on the other. We talked about 2 weeks ago when we talked about the nature of the Christian life and the warfare against sin as like trench warfare with one side, the side of the life of Christ within us on one side, and the other side, the life of sin within us on the other, and they're warring it out between in the no man's land in between. Same idea, articulated slightly differently today. This is that tension between the life that God has for us to live and the life that we see in us today. Because we hear this word, all the old things of the man of sin are dead within us. Instead, all things have become new. And we look and we see a tension between what is promised and what we experience. We profess that we want God to make us perfect in Christ's love. Right? Right? Let's do that again. We profess that we want God to make us perfect in Christ's love. Right?
Right.
Are
Are you exhausted?
Yeah. And yet, now by the way, you said right. You said yes. You said amen. I heard it. And yet, even though we want God to make us perfect in Christ's love, we nevertheless have a problem with the idea that we are to be new creations, and that in Christ all things become new. Because you see, we want to hang on to some of those old things, don't we? Yeah, we do. We want change. Yes, we do. We want reconciliation with God. Yes, we do. We want newness in our spiritual life. Yes, we do. We want to be clothed with Christ's righteousness. Yes, we do. But, and yes, there's always a but. Don't you get tired of the buts? Mm-hmm. Life can be wonderful. It would be fabulous if we would be new creations in Christ without all the buts. But they tend to glom on. But, yes, we want change. Yes, we want reconciliation with God. Yes, we want newness in our spiritual life. And yes, we want to be clothed in Christ's righteousness. But we also want to keep our old ways of doing things, our old identities, our overused excuses for our failures, and our worn-out garments of self righteousness. We cannot live in our worn out garments of self righteousness and be new creations in Christ. We cannot pretend as though we can keep and hoard unto ourselves the old things of our life, those sins that we enjoy so much we don't want to give them up, and be new creations in Christ. We must recognize that by God's grace, when we live by faith and trust in His presence in our lives and use the means of grace to receive His love and favor, we must expect newness of life, the new creation that God has for us to live and be. In other words, we have to change. That's the essence of sanctification. Being willing to change. Repentance means, the Greek word is metanoia, and it means to change your mind. To repent means to change. The concept in English is rooted in an old English word, which means to pent, to go somewhere. You're going along your life, and then decide you to repent, which is to go the other way. Usually a 180-degree reversal of the motion. To change your mind, to change what you're doing, to change your living, to change your relationship. With whom? With God. How? In Christ Jesus, we have been reconciled to God. Who here who's older? Me. My age, maybe 5 or 10 years younger than me and up. Who here remembers having to, that arduous chore of having to reconcile your checkbook? Raise your hand. Now, if you're young, you use your computers online. The banks take care of it. You can even enter the information so they'll hold the money that you're doing with checks that you've written. If you still happen to write a few checks like I sometimes do. Mower likes to have check. So, we use the computers these days, and guess what? It always works. But when I was young, Mom taught me how to balance my checkbook, and I promptly forgot how to do it. I wasn't very good at it. I think in 20 years, I managed to accurately and to the penny balance my checkbook maybe twice. Maybe. Usually it was, well, that's within 30 cents. I guess that's good enough. Yeah, right. That 30 cents can result in a check bouncing, friends. I always tried to do it in the other direction. So I always tried to overestimate what I spent so that I would have more money left over. Didn't always work, did it? usually was a recipe for disaster. When you try to reconcile your bank book and you're not good at it, you're in trouble. Thank God for computers. But, oh, there's always a but. Yeah. That's true also in our spiritual lives. If you try to reconcile yourself to God, you're going to fail. You try to reconcile yourself with your neighbor, you're probably going to fail. Why? Because, well, we're all sinners. So God, in Christ Jesus, has reconciled the world to himself. What? Yeah. Specifically, in our case, God has reconciled us to God's self. In Jesus, we have been reconciled to God. Those things in our life that have to be balanced, have to be adjusted, have been taken from us, moved over into a different ledger, and we have been balanced, reconciled to God. It is no accident that the word righteousness and the word justice actually both mean balance. And in Hebrew, they're the same word. Balance. Our lives must be balanced with God. They must be reconciled to God. They must be justified to God's rule for us. I like to use the image of a word processor, like Microsoft Word, where you can justify your margins on the left side or the right side or in the middle. And when you justify left and right margins, the edges of the words line up exactly with whatever rule you've set at the top and bottom of the screen. And it makes the text look good. If you don't have justified margins, left, right, or at least in the center, it looks sloppy. God's grace, God's love, and what Christ does for us in dying for us justifies us, lines us up with God's will. And we are reconciled to God. And that's what it means to be a new creation. That's what it means to be an ambassador of Christ, a witness to the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, a witness that we are all called to be to the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. When we have been reconciled to God, when we've been brought back into balance with God's will for us, when we now hit that mark, instead of falling short of it repeatedly, it is God's grace working within us, reconciling us and making us new creations in Christ Jesus. And we become ambassadors, witnesses, representatives for God in a broken and hurting world. And this is what it means for us to be the righteousness of God, the balancing scales of God in this world. We, by our own ability, will never, ever, ever, ever be righteous. When we try to be righteous, we have nothing but dirty rags. But when we accept Christ's righteousness, Christ's love, Christ's grace, Christ's peace, Christ's sanctification, we have true righteousness, balance in our lives, justice in our lives, reconciliation in our lives with God and with others. Because when we are reconciled to God, we can then be truly reconciled to our neighbors. That's the essence of Jesus' great commandment. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. When you live the new life, the life of the new creation, and when you set aside all those old things that we often want to keep living, we find God's grace so empowering us, so enabling us, so changing us and transforming us that we live as new creations, able to witness to the love of God, the love of God that we have received, the love of God that is showered on the world in God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We're called to be new creations, to be reconciled to God, to be ambassadors for Christ, and to be the righteousness of God in a broken world that needs balancing. May we trust in God's grace. May we turn to God's throne of grace. May we rest in God's grace, trusting in him by faith, that he will bring us balance. He will bring us a life of the new creation. He will bring us the righteousness of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In your